Welcome to Piedmont Arts. I'm Rachel Stewart.
This year, we started playing around with the concerts and giving people these shorter experiences that are just as meaningful. So they are just as dramatic. They have all of the art and the beauty, but they're in these smaller formats.
Dr. Shantae Williams is the general director of Opera Carolina. In a bit, she'll tell us about the next A Night to Remember concert coming up on November 1st at Belk Theater. These concerts are one of several ways Opera Carolina is working to create varied opportunities for audiences to enjoy opera. We've also got Phil Vavra's fanfare to look forward to, and as always, Phil will let us know what's coming up that might be of interest to you. But first, a story about a North Carolina cultural institution that's calling it quits. The Eastern Music Festival recently announced that it is dissolving the organization and closing its summer music operations, concerts, and educational programming for students from the United States and around the world. EMF began more than 60 years ago on the campus of Guilford College in Greensboro. Its demise follows roughly 2 years of failed contract negotiations between the EMF board and faculty members of a musicians' union. We have two points of view on what happened. First, Joy Hodges, who is a member of the faculty, a horn player, and union representative, and she spoke with Dan Dreher.
Joy, what were the main issues that you wanted the EMF board to address?
What we really wanted to achieve was a sense of job security, and we wanted the management and the board to recognize that we give a lot of our time and our energy to Eastern Music Festival. Many people who had worked at EMF for decades were just not invited back. They weren't given an explanation. They weren't given a letter of dismissal. They just weren't invited back. And it was really upsetting. So our orchestra just kept getting cut and the faculty kept getting cut.
So it was a guarantee of a contract so that it wasn't, are we coming back? Do we know if we're coming back? So it's a guarantee of a contract. An ability to return, and also the size of the orchestra itself.
The faculty, yes, not just the orchestra, but the faculty in general, because there's an orchestra component of Eastern Music Festival, but there's also guitar and piano, and they don't play in the orchestra necessarily, but they are faculty. And so, yeah, we wanted to preserve the numbers that we had, because as the orchestra and the faculty shrunk, our workload increased because the student numbers didn't shrink, but the faculty numbers were shrinking. So all of a sudden, they ran out of people to coach chamber music. We went from having a very low teacher to student ratio to a slightly higher, which was just a little bit more work for us. We did get paid for it, but as far as time and energy, our workload was increasing. Our pay was never increasing. We got a very small raise. I want to say it was something like $200 over the course of 10 years. So our pay was not increasing, but our workload was increasing.
Yeah. So it wasn't a case that the faculty no longer wanted the festival to be a student-focused festival. It sounds like you're saying we had so many more students that we had to teach.
Oh, yeah. We know we're a student-focused festival. That was never an issue. It's never been an issue. We have always been aware that Eastern Music Festival is a student-oriented festival. And I think there's been some misinformation about that and maybe a little bit of negativity saying that we didn't want to work with students and we wanted to just be an orchestra. And that's just so false. That's always been our focus, is the students.
What does it mean as a now former faculty member of this festival that you have been involved with for so many years for it to no longer be?
It's really sad to me that the management decided to just dissolve the festival, something that has been around for six decades. It's really sad to me. And I feel the sadness from my music colleagues all over the country and from students all over the country as well.
Of course, EMF felt that what the musicians were asking for is a fully professional orchestra.
Yes. And what we were asking for was, let's keep the model the same. It works. Why would you want to cut us? Why would you want to take away our performances and take away our orchestra? We do want to play. Yes, of course. We want to keep this model. But what we couldn't understand was, why? And they couldn't give us a reason other than we want to be innovative and we want the flexibility. And we kept saying, can you just tell us why? And they could never give us a reason. And it just felt like they wanted to just cancel the festival. That was so shocking and upsetting, not only to us, the players committee and the faculty, but I heard somewhere, I think Chris Williams said at some point that we had 1,000 students apply. I know it was definitely over 800 students apply. And all of those students who applied, that opportunity was taken away from them. When we could have just worked and kept negotiating. I don't understand why would you want to do that to the community? It doesn't make any sense to me. It was frustrating. It was really frustrating that we couldn't make them see how important this is, not just to us. We're just people who worked there, but to the students, the educators, the parents, and the community.
That's Joy Hodges, a horn player and faculty member of the Eastern Music Festival, which has announced it's shutting down. Dan Dreher also talked with Chris Williams, the executive director of EMF, and asked about the board's reasoning behind ceasing the festival.
Chris, could we start with you telling me how you feel about what has happened at EMF?
It's very sad, but I think it was very necessary at this point, after 2 years of negotiations and looking at the calendar ahead with student recruitment on the horizon and fundraising calendar. This was the right time to make a very difficult decision.
What do you feel were the top three major sticking points in the breakdown of the negotiations?
From the start, there were two very different understandings about what EMF was and what EMF could be. The board and the staff, the administration, really, really believed and still believes that EMF's role was that as an educational institution. We were designed and chartered to teach. That's what we do. A group of faculty members working with their orchestral union, with the AF of M, really saw this as a summer orchestra and would not budge from that place. The way the contracts were proposed, the language, the word choice, session after session after session, we would get to this point where it was about the Saturday night orchestra, not about the students.
A lot of people were shocked that the festival board decided to just close it entirely. It could be looked at as cutting one's nose off to spite one's face, right?
It could also be looked at as a board of directors taking their fiduciary duty very seriously. The best interest of the festival was not to run it into the ground or to run it off into a direction that didn't serve the students. So the board made a really tough decision.
What's your personal reaction to this? I mean, you know, you're no longer employed by an entity that you love and have supported and helped run. So can you offer some personal reflections here on this?
I know that good organizations sometimes have lifespans. Things happen, things change. The flexibility to make change is part of what life is all about, especially in a nonprofit. So yeah, I'm sad. I'm very sad for the students. I'm very sad for our local audience, our patrons who won't get to meet those students and hear them play and get to know them and watch them grow. But the board made a decision. I work for the board. I support that decision. I understand why they did what they did.
Should there no longer be any summer music festival in the Triad area? Mm-hmm. What does that mean for arts in High Point, in Greensboro, primarily Greensboro, of course, but the whole Triad? What does that mean?
I don't know. I haven't really dwelt on that too much. My responsibility is to EMF, and we're thinking about EMF at the moment. But Music Academy of North Carolina does great work. UNCG has a summer festival that draws thousands of young people to study. High Point University has a jazz festival, or High Point, not university, the town of High Point has the jazz festival and an academy in the summertime. So I think there are other opportunities, maybe right here under our noses, that we haven't looked at carefully enough. It's a hard thing to do to close down a business, for profit, nonprofit, family business, but sometimes it's the right thing to do. And it's sad. We all know it's sad. We're all hurting. We're all upset. But for many of us, standing and saying this is the right decision now, it's where we came to, and it's correct. It's what we believe.
That's Chris Williams, executive director of the Eastern Music Festival in Greensboro. He spoke with Dan Dreyer. While EMF in its current form is gone, there is a group actively working to create a new version, still housed at Guilford College. Barbara Morgenstern, the former wife of EMF founder Shelley Morgenstern and previously a board member of EMF, is leading the effort to raise funds for what will be called the Eastern Festival of Music. Reportedly, more than $1 million has been raised thus far. EMF's current music director, Gerard Schwartz, is expected to join the new group. Next up on Piedmont Arts, Bill Vavra has some suggestions for things you can do in the days ahead.
Thanks, Rachel. We might be heading into November, but it's more like Yesvember with the variety of great events coming up in the first week of the month alone. From opera and visual arts to a big Broadway hit and the Charlotte Symphony Orchestra's On Tap series, there's already so much on the calendar that'll make you say yes. Opera Carolina is presenting A Night to Remember at Belk Theater in Charlotte on Saturday, November 1st at 8 p.m. This gala benefit concert, in partnership with the Puccini Festival of Torre del Lago, will feature artists from around the world performing arias and duets, paying tribute to Giacomo Puccini's great heroines. You'll hear selections from La Bohème, Madama Butterfly, Tosca, and more. Art Pop Street Gallery presents its Fall Community Art Market at Le Méridien Hotel in Uptown Charlotte on Saturday, November 1st from 6 to 9 p.m. Having been to this event in the past, I can tell you it's a great way to meet local artists and shop for original artwork. You'll find painting, jewelry, photography, watercolor, fabric art, and more. The Chancel Choir of Providence United Methodist Church continues the 2025-26 season of the Providence Chamber Music Series with a performance of Johannes Brahms's Ein Deutscher Requiem at Providence United Methodist Church in Charlotte on Sunday, November 2nd at 6:30 p.m. Pianists John Richardson and Emily Gerald Urbanek will accompany the choir, playing Brahms's original transcription for piano four hands. In honor of Veterans Day and America's upcoming 250th birthday, the Appalachian Theater in Boone welcomes the U.S. Army Jazz Ambassadors, the premier touring big band of the United States Army, for a free concert on Sunday, November 2nd at 3 p.m. This patriotic event features big band classics, contemporary jazz, and original works. What was it like being married to King Henry VIII? Well, just ask his wives. Blumenthal Arts is bringing the hit musical Six to Belk Theater November 4th through 9th. The highly stylized show presents the lives of the six wives of Henry VIII in the form of a singing competition and pop concert. There'll be eight performances, including two matinees. Raise a glass, because the Charlotte Symphony Orchestra is brewing up more on-tap concerts. The CSO's Wind Ensemble will present an evening of eclectic chamber music at two Charlotte breweries over the next week, Tuesday, November 4th, 7:30 p.m. at Triple C Brewing, and Wednesday, November 5th, also at 7:30 at Noda Brewing Company. And what else is in store during the month of November? Well, just check my complete fanfare column every week at WDAV.org to find out. Rachel?
Thanks, Phil. Opera Carolina is known for staging operas, of course, and this season is no exception. They have Puccini's Suor Angelica and Johnny Scigi double bill coming up, also Mozart's Magic Flute and Menotti's The Medium. Those are all coming in 2026. But they also have a Bel Canto Encanto concert series this year, which allows audiences to enjoy operatic and vocal music a little bit differently. The next one of these concerts is A Night to Remember, All Puccini's Heroines, and it's coming on Saturday, November 1st at 8 p.m. in Belk Theater. And here to talk about it is Dr. Shantae Williams, who's the general director of Opera Carolina. So thanks for talking to us today.
Thank you for having me, Rachel.
In a conversation that we were in a couple of weeks ago, you mentioned that there are more concerts as opposed to operas this season. Can you talk a little bit about the idea behind that?
Well, yes. You know, I like to think about how all of us get to experience our first little taste of opera. And for some people, they jump right into the deep end. And then for other people, they dip their toe into what, you know, might be a little bit of the shallow end. So they get the little snippets or the little appetizer of opera in the concerts. And this year we started playing around with the concerts, and we started the A Night to Remember series. Last year it was during our anniversary season, and it went well. It was a sold out concert, and we brought it back this year with Puccini's Women. And I love this particular series because people know all of these operas, but when we tell people it's Puccini's heroines, they go, who are these people? Then we say, oh, Poem, Turandot. They go, oh, I know all of these. And our thinking behind it really is still pulling in those new audiences, but capturing our opera lovers, bringing them all together, and then watching all of them smile and really interact with the art in a way that brings them back for all of our grand operas in the next year. But this A Night to Remember series is just that appetizer that just gets everybody really ready to go.
So it's an entry point for some people, and for others who know the opera, it's almost like an anthology in a way of their favorites. Yeah. Well, can you tell us a little bit more then? You said that a lot of the elements would be there. Is there going to be much acting, costuming? What does it look like?
So last year, it was really opera at its core, which is, you know, we've got the talent, the singer, and we've got the aria, and we've got a piano. This year, we've added a different element. We're bringing these historical costumes. And so we've got this additional element where we get to bring a little more of that drama. Every artist brings in a bit of the acting as well. So you always see that emotion come through each of the arias as they're singing. So some of them are quite dramatic. Last year we had a dance wrapped into the aria. So I think we'll be in for some surprises and some interaction with the artist, with the audience. So we'll be in for much more than just the arias presented on stage.
So it's not exactly a recital.
No, not just a recital.
Okay. What are some other things that Opera Carolina is thinking about to sort of help people get to know opera and provide entry points for folks?
We have one, tried to not take ourselves too seriously. So we've had a little more fun this year. We opened our season this year with a fashion show and incorporated fashion into opera. So we have, again, all of that great drama that you see on the stage, we wrapped it into a fashion series. But then we are working with the children in the community. We absolutely believe that if we want to keep the art alive, we have to start very young. So we incorporate into our musical series, musical story time. So we go out into the libraries, and while we are incorporating and starting very early this love of opera, we are reading to children, but we're doing it in an operatic way. So that's incredibly fun. And we're doing it with the magic flute. What better way to show children the magic of opera than to read and sing it to them? And they also get their first book from Opera Carolina. So those are kind of two ways that we are making sure that we are continuing the conversation and doing it a little bit differently. And then finally, we have thought more globally. As we are now thinking about what are we putting on stage, we're thinking about what stories aren't being told. We, of course, have the classic repertoire, but we are also thinking about more modern works. We are thinking about more international works. We have started thinking about works that are Spanish language. We are thinking about what else can we do when we think about planning trips for our patrons to travel, not just to Italy, but we've played around with, should we go to South America? You know, should we be going to Europe? What can we do to make sure that everyone knows that this art is worldwide and everybody around the world actually loves opera? And it is very reflective of the melting pot that Charlotte is.
So you've got a lot of ways for people to engage with the art form. And the one that's coming up soonest is A Night to Remember, Saturday, November 1st at 8 o'clock, Belk Theater. I want to thank you, Dr. Shantae Williams, for taking the time to chat with us today.
Thank you.
That's it for this edition of Piedmont Arts. I'm Rachel Stewart. Be sure to subscribe to get new episodes as they're released. And you'll find past episodes at wdav.org/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and iHeart Podcasts.